The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Rick Welch, and to my left is straight out of Compton, Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
And behind the glass is Rocket Man, Andy Bishop. That's right. That's right. Just as a reminder, Cherry is on sabbatical, I think probably until July. And then we've got Sarita Edgerton, who is running for...
Kissing them babies. She's out there. Knocking on them doors.
Flipping tables, taking names.
Yeah, that too.
And then she... she won't be back until after the election on June 11th. So, also, Billy is wrapping up some things with his own family and... Rick Carter, I didn't mention him in the last episode with Luke McInnes. I meant to mention something. His daughter has been accepted into governor school in South Carolina.
Cool.
And he was having a dinner with her. She was moving to Greenville, actually, where the governor school is.
Huh.
Yep. So she'll be living near...
the same Greenville that's right over the line here?
Huh?
The same Greenville?
Yep.
Huh? Cool.
Very, very cool.
So it's not too far from
here
either.
Yeah, so Rick's not here. Sorry about not mentioning Rick last time. I don't know. My brain was like all up in this, the guy, you know, talking to Luke over in Melbourne, Australia last week. So that's what that was all about. But tonight's going to be a good night.
I thought you were going to be like, tonight. Oh! Whoa. Okay,
Phil Collins. That's an oldie but goodie. Tonight, I want to go into another one of the feasts. But I'm not doing a full-on treatment because I bought 25 copies of David Curtis's The Feast of Yahweh and its fulfillment in Yeshua. And so I'm not really sure. I don't really want to get too deep in it until I fully read that book. And then Pastor Curtis said that he would come and would hang out in the studio with us and we could talk to him there towards the end of it.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, him and his wife.
I'll let her read the book first.
I actually have a copy for each one of you. I just need to pass it out. And we probably won't have him come up until around September because he's preparing for a conference and we're going to the same conference in Arkansas in August. So I would say we'll probably pick up the feasts here and there. So I'm going to be talking about a feast, which is the Feast of Weeks. And that feast, what we know it as, is Pentecost. Penta.
Five cost?
Yes.
So is that like $5?
It's 50.
50.
Oh, okay.
It's 50. And the reason why is because it's 50 days, or really 49 days.
Plus one
after Passover.
I don't think I could. Oh, it's not for 49 days. I thought you were saying it was a 49-day feast. And I was like, I don't think I could get through that.
It's a week of weeks. So
I might do it.
Seven times seven plus the first day would be
50. Yep. Seven times seven plus one. Exactly right. So for us, for Christians, okay, how this develops, if we look into the Old Testament prior to whenever Christ came, there was a time whenever Moses takes the people out of Egypt. You know the story, Andy. That's how they get out of Egypt.
You can't get around now. Everybody knows that.
That's right.
I feel pretty confident.
Yeah. Then they go to Mount Sinai, and that's when Moses goes up on the mountain, and he gets this 10 commandments from God. And this is where the law comes from. And that is called Shavuot.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a word.
What's that word?
Shavuot. I don't know what it means.
Oh, okay. So it's just, okay.
It's a word. I mean, I could look it up what it means, actually. As a matter of fact, I had it on my trusty Wikipedia.
I think you're also sort of describing it as... defining it as you describe it, though, and I was getting out of order.
Well, it was the festival.
It means weeks. Shavuot means weeks. Commonly known in English as the Feast of Weeks, is one of the biblically ordained three pilgrimage festivals, and it occurs on the sixth day of the Hebrew month of Sivan. In the 21st century, it may fall between May 15th and June 14th on the Gregorian calendar. So that is Shavuot. All right. And so that's for the Feast of Weeks. And what we know as Pentecost, but our Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. So it's not based on Passover, it's based on the Resurrection Sunday. So Pentecost, also called Whit Sunday or Whitsun, is a Christian holiday which takes place on the 49th day or the 50th day when inconclusive counting is used, whatever that means, after Easter Day. I know.
It's new math.
Yeah. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles of Jesus while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Weeks, as described in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 31. All right. So that is what Pentecost is. And so...
So it is... Pentecost is, but it's right on top of the Feast of Weeks.
That's just, right. It's during the Feast of Weeks. So
during. Yeah.
So what happens, and I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2, but I'm going to give you guys just like just a really quick reminder. After Christ's resurrection, according to the Bible, he was on the earth for 40 days. Okay?
Oh, wow.
40 days.
I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah, no. I thought it was like another... couple days, maybe.
Yeah, 40. So during that 40-day period, the apostle...
How do I not know that?
I don't know.
That one's wild. No, I, you know, 1-3 days max in my head canon.
Yep, he was on the earth for 40 days. So if we consider this, he died on Passover, he resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week. So Passover was a Saturday. He resurrects on the first day of the week. Actually, you know, I don't hold to the old. Not Saturday. He would resurrect on an early Sunday morning. So 50 days from then, this is when when Pentecost takes place. So that means that 43 days for 40 days Jesus is on earth. There's only 7 left that the disciples are by themselves. So there's a time whenever Jesus is in the grave for 3 days. They don't have him. And then there's a time of 7 days after he ascends to glory. And that's when they are in the upper room at the temple praying, because Jesus has told them to wait because there is a comforter that will come to them. And that's what's getting ready to take place in Acts chapter 2. Do you have anything that you would like to add, Ralph, before I jump into Acts 2?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. So,
Acts how you see fit, Rick.
I always do.
Hey, this Act 2. But what he's getting ready to talk about hasn't happened since Adam and Eve, because that's when he left.
What are you talking about?
What?
The Spirit.
The Spirit was in people here and there, but he sent him to all of his believers. Like the Spirit of the Lord would come upon people like Samson and things like that.
Come upon, but not dwelling here.
Yeah. All right. So in Acts chapter 2, this is after the ascension of Jesus. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they, meaning the disciples, were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven, now notice, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Oh, so, okay.
So I want you to notice here that what's going on is
Is this like one of the important things for the speaking in tongues?
That's right.
That kind of thing? Like,
this is where it begins.
This is it.
Yeah, yes. That's one of the things I never understood about Pentecostal churches, because in the Bible, what I always read is when I was young was speaking in tongues where they were speaking in other languages for other people
because they
had been dispersed and given different languages. And now they're speaking in tongues, but you go to a Pentecostal church and they're certainly not speaking another language.
Isn't the postulation that they are speaking in some language somewhere in all of heaven and earth and the universe? Just you don't know what it is.
I've heard it said a lot of different ways. I really don't know what they're saying, but this is in the moment where the early church, and there's a reason for this. Okay, like, why all of a sudden does he give them the ability to speak in other languages? Why would it matter? So here
right,
you go.
Right.
Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, put two and two together.
Yeah, yeah, now that
they're
makes sense.
Now they're going to start speaking other languages, but there's Jews from every nation under heaven.
And well, that's because of this. That's because of the festival of Shavuot. That was a traveling festival.
That's right. One they were there.
One of the three traveling festivals where everybody comes
yep.
here and we celebrate. And so there were people from all over, and you needed to be able to talk to everyone.
That I mean, a couple different languages wouldn't hurt nothing.
Well, and the right. Spirit coming upon you also gives the apostles the faith in themselves to go out, because many times— you know, you can see that they have lost their faith. I mean, let's go back out on the boat and Jesus calming the sea. There's so many times they lost it. And now with Jesus getting ready to leave, he needs to be able to, you know, put the Spirit upon them and give them that last bit of understanding. And also the Spirit not only gives them that last bit of understanding, but also helps them remember everything that Jesus has taught.
That's right. That's good. So, and verse 6, and at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. So, they're hearing all these men speaking in tongues all of a sudden, and everybody around's like, uh-oh, like, what's going on? So, they crowd around it, right? It's like a buxer. Isn't that what they call them? A buxer? A busker? A busker? You know how everybody crowds around them? Well, that's kind of like what's going on, but it's just around all the disciples. Because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? You understand, they're from up north in Israel, near the Sea of Galilee. They're fishermen and tax collectors and day laborers and whatever. They're not educated. They don't have all of the ability to speak. But aren't these people from up there? How are they speaking our language? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, or Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So all those surrounding nations, they're hearing these disciples, these uneducated men, speak their language.
All at the same time. Speak all of their languages all at the same time.
And they're hearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're hearing it. So, and all were amazed, or it says, telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine.
That's funny.
Now, I've been told before that Jesus made new wine and therefore it wasn't alcoholic. But it doesn't sound like that here, does it?
No.
How can they say that they're being filled with new wine if they're not just—
If it's not alcoholic, then why are they accusing their behavior
exactly.
on it?
Exactly. It's alcoholic, folks. This is alcoholic.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's the fulfillment of Christ bringing the Holy Spirit to his apostles and the beginning of the Messianic—
The age, yep. The Great Commission is about to take place. So now, verse 14, it says, but Peter. Now, Peter, the one who denied Christ and then Christ brought back, now he's like the leader of the group. But Peter, standing with the 11, because Judas Iscariot had already committed suicide.
Mm-hmm. And who took his place?
Matthias.
Rufus.
There you go.
But Matthias will do it here in a little bit. So Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only about the third hour of the day. We've laughed about this before in here. It's about 9 a.m., and I was like, he obviously didn't have any college kids around.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that Peter, I think, finally finds his voice that's not Peter running, Peter getting caught out in a law, you know.
Or popping off.
Yeah, exactly. This is like Peter's gone through all of this. He was the Ralph, because that's what was always me, always shouting my mouth off. And then, you know, and finally he comes to an understanding and a maturity where this is, I think, where he starts to lead the church. And I think this is where the church starts.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. This is where the church is beginning, right here. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So He's telling them that what you all are experiencing right now was foretold by a prophet long ago.
Named Joel?
Named Joel.
That's... We could workshop some of these prophet names.
Yeah, and it could be Joel.
I'm kidding.
You know, it could be Joel.
It's just the prophet
or
Joel.
Or Yoel.
It just falls flat.
I know.
It feels like you should have more syllables in your name. That's all I'm saying.
Joel.
I got to be honest with you. My middle name is Joe, and I've hated it my whole life.
Not enough syllables.
Hey, try Ralph, would you?
Ralph. That was what my name was supposed to be. His name was Ralph, but his nickname was Joe, so they called me Joe. I guess it's better than Ricky Ralph. So anyway, so this is what the prophet Joel says. And in verse 17, he quotes it verbatim to the people, and he says, "And in the last days it shall be." Let's stop there. Let's stop there for a moment. Notice that Peter says the things that we're experiencing right now that are confounding you was spoken of long ago by the prophet Joel. Then he says, "And in the last days
Matthew it shall 24. Be."
And in the last days.
What do you mean? What does he mean in the last days? It shall be it will be as was told.
Well, what he's saying is that what they're dealing with in the last days, what they're having, he's telling them we're in the last days.
End times.
Okay.
We're in the last days.
Can you actually read that back one more time?
But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares."
Okay.
"That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." This is happening.
That will be.
"And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." This is happening right in front of their eyes. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So yes, there were female servants who prophesied, folks. "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day."
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel room, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know your items are secured in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut, protective, high-quality foam to fit your pistols by make and model, compact size, or full size. They also come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designer protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So protect what matters most. Visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. Enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter the code Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
Do you notice how he starts talking about the sun will be darkened and the moon will turn to blood? Doesn't that sound like what Jesus said? The sun will be darkened and the moon will lose its light and the stars will fall. He's using apocalyptic language from Joel. He's telling them, we're in the last days and all of this, the sun, moon, and stars, these things, this is the nation in which we live. I'm standing at the Capitol of the place that's going to be destroyed. It's kind of like when Jonah went to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. It's whenever a prophet goes to a city, he's basically saying, right now it's the year of the Lord's favor, but we're in the last times. This is the end. You need to know.
Okay.
He's declaring it.
Okay? So that's also sort of a parallel that way.
It is.
Okay. And he's talking about things in the book of Joel, but this is in the book of Acts.
Right. So he's referencing a prophet from hundreds of years earlier.
Yeah, he's talking. Okay.
So verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel," so this is still Peter shouting at these people at the temple, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Now you notice how he's saying to them, you know he did it.
Yeah.
You were here. You watched him do it. You just chose not to believe it.
Right, because it's the disciples.
"This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, now that he's talking about another, the King David, who was also a prophet and a king, who wrote Psalms. And
King
Psalms.
David, King,
King David.
David,
yep. He's referencing him. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. So he's just quoted this from David. Now he turns it on him. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he has both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. In other words, David just said that my flesh will never see corruption.
Yeah.
But David's dead and he's over in his tomb. He was talking about the Christ. He was talking about Jesus. Being therefore a prophet, this is verse 30, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that we would set, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. So he's saying, all of us crazy people that you think are hammered drunk right now, mm-hmm. and you're hearing us speak in your language, this is evidence of the Christ, and you know what he did, and now we're here. We're here telling you this. This is the moment.
Well, and at this point, they're in front of multitudes because people have gathered and gathered. Oh,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Thousands of people are gathered and thousands of people were converted.
Fishing in a stocked pond.
Thousands of
people were converted that day, and over the next several decades, some of the most important churches in history were formed.
That's exactly right. So, verse 33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So everything you see and hear, God's doing it. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So this is Peter's first big sermon. This is the first time Peter really in public speaks.
That's cool. That's interesting.
So watch what happens. It's going to sound like a Billy Graham crusade.
I bet it was.
Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and here's an interesting number. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. I thought it was interesting.
Wow.
Now, do we know why there were 3,000?
Oh, is there significance to that
number?
There
is a significance to it.
I never would have.
Okay.
Had you said that.
Whenever Moses comes down from the mountain, the people are worshiping a golden calf.
Yeah.
Baal.
Huh?
Baal.
Yeah. And God kills 3,000 of them.
Oh.
Let's see if we can find that in Exodus.
I was going to say, is that your theory or is that something you heard somewhere else?
Nah, it's in the Bible.
That the two numbers are
significant to one another.
Significant to one another. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah, because it's like the reversing the curse. Exodus
30. Well, then you got a lot of work to do on the flood.
Huh? Exodus 30. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to reverse the curse.
Now I see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Exodus 32.
Yeah, you're going to be busy a minute.
All right, so let's see what happens here. Do you remember that joke, Andy, where I told you that Moses leaves, and so Aaron stays back, and Aaron's the high priest. And then Aaron, all the people are like, Moses is gone forever, so make us a god. And so they bring him all the gold, and then he fashions the calf. So when Moses comes back, he's like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. They just took the gold, they threw it in the fire, and out popped this calf.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's the story. So listen to this, verse 21 of Exodus 32. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Yeah. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. These are the priests with swords. Sounds like a band.
Priest with swords.
Priest with swords. Priest with swords.
Yeah, it's a power metal thing.
It is. Verse 28, and the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and that day about 3,000 men of the people fell.
I didn't realize there was a slaughter that day.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about women and children, but there were plenty of them there.
But the fact is that when Moses comes down and brings the law, and then he says, who's on my side? It's the priests who follow, and they're the ones with the swords. If you fast forward to Acts chapter 2 with Peter, they're the new priests, and the swords are the words of their mouth.
I was going to ask about the swords.
Were you?
Yeah, literally. Like, do they have swords too?
Nope. The swords of the mouth. Well, they are cutting like a double-edged sword. Christ is like his, out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword, it says, that cuts to the marrow and bone.
I'm still hung up on the part of that story that I've never heard before where they killed 3,000 people.
Yes. Just,
not, that's a detail that was lost on me.
Well, see, they're accepting of the law, and then as soon as Moses is gone—
I want to know, how long was he gone again?
I think it was 40 days.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, he wasn't just gone for a couple of days.
He was gone for like 40 days.
Like 40 days, so a month and a half. A month and a half, okay. So
they probably thought, hey—
Well, that's what I'm
we're
saying.
We're out here in the desert. We need a god to help us out.
A month and a half is not like 2 days.
Right.
But it's not a huge amount of time to be like, all right, what other god?
Yeah, well, yeah. Remember, you're out there. You don't have water. You don't have food. It's being provided for you.
Yeah. That's true. They had dire need of a helping hand, certainly.
Right. So that seems to be, what it looks like to me is that there is some sort of a reversing happening. Okay, it's like
it's human nature.
Yeah, but it's God reversing the curse at the giving of the Spirit is the same as Moses and the giving of the law. See, it says Moses brought law, right? But Jesus brought grace and truth, right?
I mean, it's a nice bookend when you look at the difference between the Old and the New Testament and the attitude about lives and people and stuff.
Yeah. There's so much to this, man. And that's why I'm looking forward to having Pastor Curtis come. This isn't going to be a long episode. This was just a touch. We're just getting into, I don't want to go too far because we're going to get into all seven of the feasts and how Christ fulfilled them. Had you ever heard that before, Ralph?
What?
About the feasts of God found in Leviticus and that Jesus actually was a fulfillment of all of them?
I don't know. I know he's familiar. I would say I don't know that I thought he was had fulfilled all of them, but I do know that there were many of them.
Like, we know that he was the Passover lamb, yeah. Right? Of course. So that makes sense. And so when we can put that one together, we're like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, in Pentecost more? Too, because that was the
bringing of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Yep. And so what other ones could there be, right? Well, obviously there's a Day of Atonement. There's a Feast of Tabernacles. Like, there's other, the Feast of Trumpets. You think about when Christ returns, it's the trumpet. God's holy days. Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Eighth Day. Interesting. What's the Eighth Day? Will you read that? What is that? That sounds like the Festival of Lights, like Hanukkah. Is that Hanukkah?
Hanukkah is Hanukkah 8 days?
Well, I asked him to read it, but he's reading it.
I can't read it because it's in a different color.
Let me read it to you.
Yeah, you can't show
it. I think that's when he brought everybody back.
Salvation extended to all humanity. The eighth day is the seventh feast, actually. The eighth day teaches us that Jesus Christ will complete his harvest of humans by raising from the dead and extending salvation to all human beings who have died in the past and have never been given a full opportunity for salvation. I don't know where this came from. Who is this from? That doesn't sound even right at all. But anyway, that's where we're going to wrap this one up. This was only like a short 30-minute episode, but guys, like I said, we'll have David Curtis come at a later time. Pentecost, go read Acts chapter 2, read Exodus chapter 32, and you can see how these things happen in the Old Testament and what God did in the New Testament. It's amazing how there's just this repeat, but it's for the good. It's full of grace. It's amazing. Hey, Greg.
He moves in silence.
That's good stuff. Well, Ralph, thanks for being here, man. This was a shorty but a goodie.
Represent.
Andy?
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much. And hopefully, we'll have a couple more people in here next time because the Burrows have been missing.
It's been busy.
You kicked us out last time. What are you talking about missing?
No, well, you were the only one that was going to come, and I said don't.
See?
Isn't that terrible? That's so terrible. Anyway, we will talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Bye.
Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms? Then let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high-quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Enter code Burrows. That's B-U-R-R-O-S at checkout to receive free shipping.
So we finally have this new thing happening. And since our Pentecost episode was only 30 minutes long, because we're going to visit it later, Andy, I wanted to bring up this something that we've been doing in secret.
You guys been having little secrets.
We have. Rick Carter and I have been recording a series about the Book of Jasher, the Forbidden Book of Jasher. And right now, I think we've gotten as far as 6 episodes in, and my mind is roasted. It's incredible. What an incredible book. And each time Rick's like, I told you, man. I mean, he's right. There's a lot of different things in this book that sort of like give a more, like a better understanding of Genesis.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. And the Book of Joshua mentions the Book of Jasher, and 2 Kings mentions the Book of Jasher. So obviously they read it and they know it. So I thought, let's study it. So we've got a segment that's going to be coming out here very soon called Rick and Rick Change the World. And we're humble too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoy that. That's coming out. And also I wanted to follow up. Yes, there are some Zach Davis episodes regarding It's Time to Grow Up. My problem is that I haven't had the Burrows in the studio.
Yeah.
They've been out for a couple of months, and so they'll be back. And so what I'll probably do is take this over myself, talking about what the things that Zach is talking about, and It's Time to Grow Up will start showing up as well. Okay. And I think, don't you already have the first couple of episodes already edited, I think, where we talked about Zach's Hebrew study?
I think
they're in the bank somewhere.
If they're in the drive, then
they're in the bank. They're not in my drive, so you may not have edited. I don't know. This is a while ago. We haven't had the Burrows in the studio.
He wasn't here. Was he here? Or is this like
no? This somewhere? was this was after.
Yeah, this was
after him.
This was like something that was sent over.
Yeah, basically it was the YouTube. It's his YouTube channel where he's talking about Hebrews.
Yeah.
And he's taking so what we're doing is talking about what he is saying in his study, which has been really good, by the way. But we haven't had the Burrows here. Life is happening, bro. So anyway, guys, go here very soon. You're going to hear Rick and Rick Change the World, where we do this study of Jasher. That's
such a good title.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good title.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Hey, guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well. So here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon. That is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level. We've got a $10 level and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy? That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea and give us all of your money.
even a little bit will be fine.
Yeah. And that 5,000 wouldn't hurt my either.
No, it would hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, her dad's not been doing well for several years with heart issues and stuff, and he's got other things going on now.
Does he live down there?
They live in.
Oh, okay.
So they, we've been talking for a couple of years about getting new houses, which I thought they were going to move into that development and we were going to move in that development.
Yeah.
And then today I was talking to my wife and I'm like, can we be on a cul-de-sac? She goes, yeah. And mom liked the same house we do. So there'll probably be a couple of houses down.
There you go.
Hey man, Greenville's an up and comer. Greenville has been for years.
Their downtown is fantastic.
It is. It's real nice.
I really like it down there.
Yeah, it's just not Spartanburg's.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it's really funny because I actually like parts of Spartanburg, but
I think I'm just joking. I know you are. I don't know enough about
it. I think we'd be between the two. Like kind of smack dab in between the two.
Kind of like Duncan?
Boiling Springs.
Boiling Springs, yeah. I actually have a friend who lives in Boiling Springs. My stepson lives in Bowling Springs. Yeah, very cool.
Yes, are we rolling?
Rolling, rolling, rolling.